We are officially, amen, under $100,000. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's on now. It's on now. Let me tell you, y'all doing it, man. Y'all doing it. To me, that's as good as done. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. That's as good as done to me. That's as good as done to me. Oh, man. 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 So our goal was $328. Y'all done raised $234.80. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Woo. All right. So far, y'all, listen, all we have left is $93,000. Amen. And so y'all doing so good, man. I mean, God is teaching us, hallelujah, how to hold on in faith and patience, amen, and how to just wait on the Lord, amen. And soon, amen, I'm telling you, just like I told you we were going to be under 100,000, soon we're going to be at 300 right quick. You understand what I'm saying? So get your ducks in a row. You want to be a part of this, get your stuff together, amen. Hallelujah, do what you got to do because we're about to close this up real soon. We're about to close it up. So while you have an opportunity, do what you have to do. And so just wanted to bring that to your attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody else excited up in here? They said, that's my sanctuary I'm going to grow up in. Hallelujah. All right, all right, all right. So I guess another announcement, amen, as we look at Hebrews 6, amen. Another announcement, amen. Just remember, the HFL is getting cranked up, amen. The draft is coming soon, and free agency is just under the way. So you want to, all the guys that signed up, amen, you want to go ahead and put your registration fee with the commissioner, Bryce, or with your coach, amen, because we want to have the shirts, amen, right on time. And so So go ahead and start getting that together. Amen. The season's going to be starting at the end of September. And if it's anything like last year, it's going to be real deal. It's going to be hype. Amen. And so not only the men, but the ladies are getting prepared. Anybody hear me up in here? The ladies are going to be playing too. First lady told me that she's going to be coaching, but they told me that we need, amen. How many other women coaches we need? Okay, we need two more women coaches, amen, hallelujah, women head coaches. And none of the men come on here talking about they want to be a head coach for the ladies. And you just happen to be single. We don't want no single men or married men being, y'all know what I'm saying. So, amen, y'all can help out and everything like that. And so, hallelujah, be looking, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, and get in touch with Bryce, amen, and Ms. Leah, hallelujah, and we're going to be able to do that. Bryce, you got an announcement? Okay, for the little girls too? All right, we need two ladies to coach the girls as well. Amen. And I know some of y'all personally that love that football. I ain't calling no names out, Shalanda, but I'm just saying, some of y'all and got the nerve to beat us in fantasy football. You know what I'm saying? You know all the players and stuff. Just search your heart. You know what I'm saying? Search your heart. You know, search your heart. You know, the Lord, you know. Just search your heart. You know, we need y'all. This is for the fellowship, man. And you might just get your ring out the deal or a trophy or something, you know. Hallelujah. Anything else? Anything else, Bryce? All right. All right. First lady, you? All right. All right. Let me see what else I have. I think that's about it. It's family week, y'all. So we won't do evening prayer this Thursday. We want you to spend time with your families. Amen. Or your team, however, whichever one you decide. I mean, I'm joking, your families. Amen. And that's all the announcements I have. If nobody else have anything, I'm going to move on. We need some volunteers for security as well. Deacon told me about that. And so just be looking out for that as well. So let's look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. In Sound Boot, I'm going to start at verse 13. Amen. We're going to pick up where we were last time, where we left off. We'll start at verse 13. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible reads, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he, that's Abraham, obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Somebody say it was impossible for God to lie. The Bible says we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Somebody say an anchor, of the soul. The Bible says both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Father, we thank you for your word, and we give you praise for the depth of it. And Father, we pray for a spirit of revelation, a spirit of illumination, a spirit of understanding, God, and that you would loose the anointing of teaching, that we would be able, Lord God, didactically to break down your word, God, so we can both hear and see and feel what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we are in the book of Hebrews, amen. And remember, the book of Hebrews is a unique book for the New Testament. It's written exclusively to Hebrews, amen. And it's written to us that we would not fall back to the old covenant, run back to the law, run back to Moses, but realize that we are the heirs of a better promise, amen. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, he just goes about methodically proving to us that we have a better covenant. And some of his arguments are, amen, that we have a better messenger, amen. That when the old covenant came, it was done through prophets and angels, amen. But Jesus Christ is greater than any angel. He's greater than any prophet, amen. We just went through, amen. If you remember, some of our last lessons, we talked about go on, amen. Meaning that you got the new covenant. Don't go back and rehash any of these things out, amen. Settle in your spirit. Those basic primary beliefs that we have, those fundamentals, amen, and go on from that, building yourself up to be a solid believer. We don't want you to stay babies forever, amen. You got to go on. We talked about also, amen, falling away. And we talked about those that appear saved but not really saved, amen. They enlighten. They have enjoyed a good word. They've tasted the Spirit, been partakers of his miracle working power, know some about the world to come, but they really don't have it. Amen. And we talked about things that accompany salvation, which is would be true works and labor of love. Amen. Associating with us, loving one another as brothers and sisters. Last time, y'all, we started talking about faith and patience. Somebody say faith and patience. And we had, I think, about 4 points, amen. The first point was be not slothful. Well, we kind of just talked about, amen, not getting lazy on the Lord. Sometimes we can be in church for so long, we could kind of stagnate, get stagnant and have no push, amen. And we got to keep pushing for the Lord. We say that our drive to do God's work don't depend upon feelings, amen. You do it whether you feel like it or not, amen. Even when, because you see, hallelujah, feelings come and go, but faith remains, amen. And that's what Paul says. He says in the end, it's going to be three things: faith, hope, and love. These three, all right? The greatest of these is love. But faith is one of the things that's going to endure forever. Amen. So feelings come and go, but our faith has to stay intact. Amen. And we have to do things out of our faith and not of out of our feelings. Amen. So we said, be not slothful. Amen. But followers of them. Remember, that was all about imitating. That was all about looking at somebody who's ahead of you in the faith and using them as an example. Not a God, but as an example. And if you could remember, Paul said, he said, follow me while I follow Christ. Amen. And as soon as somebody stopped following Christ, you what? You stop following them. Amen. But in every type of sport, every type of academic realm, amen, you should have some type of role model. Amen. And it should be that way in the spirit as well. And so you should watch believers that's doing something right, amen, and pattern yourself after their strengths, amen, in your own particular way, amen. And so that's what he was talking about, being followers. And as we are followers, amen, we got to pick people who are of faith and patience. Say that with me. Faith and patience. All right? You don't look for somebody that's not doing God justice, man. You don't look for an idol like that. You don't look for a role model like that. Huh? That's how they have all our kids making role models of people who living ratchet, living for the devil, man. Huh? And I used to be up there having pasted and stapled and taped all over my walls when really and truly, amen, that wasn't no godly role models at all. Huh? And so he said you got to follow people that operate in faith and patience. Faith that have a confidence of God, a trust in God, and patience, willing to wait on God. While God works some things out that's distant and long ways away in their life. But as you watch them, they wait on the Lord. Through trouble, they wait on the Lord. Through problems, they wait on the Lord. And they just trust him, cope through everything. God gonna work it out. Amen? And that's the kind of people you want to look for. And that's the kind of person you want to be. Because they got some young ones coming up after you in Philly. All right? You want to be steadfast, immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. So we talked about that. We talked about faith and patience. And then you're going to inherit the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Brent, I think my next point is Abraham. Is that the next point? Amen. Well, that's where we're going to start today. Point number four. Amen. And that's Abraham. And so let's look at verses 13 through 15. And we're going to get our work on. We're going to get our work on today. All right. 6:13. Look what it says. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So listen, we'll have 3 points. Abraham, the oath, and an anchor. We're going to just start off with Abraham right here. This is the first point of the evening. All right. The writer gives an example, James Melville, of faith and patience. He says, listen, you got to imitate those around you that's operating in his faith and patience. Amen. And he want to give us an example of how that looked like. He said Abraham was a person like this. Abraham was a person of faith and patience. And we know this, y'all. Because what God promised Abraham was far off, y'all. Huh? And what God promised Abraham was some big promises. Huh? Abraham, like 80. God, like, you're going to have a son. Huh? What? Got my wife like 70. Ain't nothing shaking. How we gonna have a son? Ain't nothing shaking. All right? And God like, nah. You gotta have faith and you gotta have patience. You're gonna have to trust me on this one. You're gonna have seed. And you're not only gonna have seed, hey God, but you're gonna be the father of nations. Amen? Nations gonna come out of you, Abraham. Right now you 80, you don't even have children. Huh? But you're gonna be the father of nations. Huh? And that's the thing about the promises of God. It don't matter what it look like today. It don't matter what it feel like today. It don't matter what it sound like today. When God make you a promise, he could change it all with one word. Just one word. Come on, tell your neighbor, just one word. And that's why I tell you, just keep believing in God. Just keep trusting in God. Listen, you could be down and out. It could be the full quarter. It could be 3 seconds left. Listen, it don't matter, man. It don't matter. You got to have a grit and a tenacity of faith and patience. Just wait upon the Lord because he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. I'm telling you. Oh, no. Even when I lose, I don't lose. You understand what I'm saying? And the boys, no, I tell them, boy, we just ran out of time. That's all it is because we don't lose. We don't lose. I'm more than a conqueror. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When Renata see me, Renata say, no L's, Pastor. That's what she say. She come by a softball. No L's. Huh? No L's. No losses. And you know what? It's no losses. Because even my L's, they're not losses. That's right. They lessons. So I never lose. I never lose. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Abraham, huh? The writer gives an example. He says, hallelujah, that it says in 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, all right? And we just saw that. He told Abraham, look, you're going to be the father of many nations. And I'm going to bless the world through you, Abraham. I'm going to bless the whole world through you. All right? So that's a big promise. All right? All right? And the Bible goes on to say, and I love this, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. All right? Hallelujah. The Old Testament allowed people to swear. All right? In the New Testament, Jesus came and he changed that. He told Christians, he said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. There's no reason for us to swear because we're going to tell the truth off the top. All right? All right? But back then, they didn't tell the truth all the time. So they had to swear to just make you think that they're serious. And listen, in the hood, that's how we grew up. Huh, Jay? You knew a dude was serious when he said, listen, I won't say it, but he said, on my mama grave. Or he said, to God, I put my hand on the Bible. And he just, you know what I'm saying. All right? But the Bible says that, amen, when somebody swear, they swear by the greater. So they swear to something that's bigger than them, something that's more important than them. That's why they say they mama or they daddy or you know what I'm saying? Something big, they swear by the greater. You see, but when God made a promise to Abraham, God ran into a problem. He couldn't swear by nobody greater because there was nobody greater to swear by. He looked around, he said, ain't nobody over me. Ain't nobody bigger than me. I can't swear on my mama greater. I ain't got no mama. I ain't got no daddy. I am that I am, he said. Huh? Because he couldn't swear by no greater. The Bible says he swear by himself. So God looked at Abraham and said, I swear to God. You understand what I'm saying? But wait, God, you God. Yeah. That's what I got to do because there's nobody greater for me to swear by. And when you know your Bible, God does this. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it a lot. He really did. I'm going to give you some examples. Watch this. We might get you excited. In Psalm 89:35, amen, he does that. And it's all about our people. This song, all right? God says, once I have sworn by my what? By my holiness. All right? He swam by himself. God said, I swear on my holiness. Huh? That what? That I will not lie unto who? Unto David. All right? That's Judah, baby. That's us. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And in 36, he tells Judah, he tells David that what? Now, he swam on his holiness. He said, Judah, he said, guess what? David, guess what? Your seed shall endure for what? For, oh, God, have mercy. Ain't nothing going to happen to Judah. Ain't nothing going to happen to David. Ain't nothing going to happen to us. Or the mountains may be removed. The seas might go. Nuclear war going to happen. But let me tell you who's going to abide here. Judah and David going to be. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. Why? Because God swear by it. He said, I swear by my holiness. He said, his throne as the sun shall be before me. Huh? Let me give you another example. Isaiah 45:23. Look what he says. He swears. Just giving you some examples of this. God says, I have sworn by myself. The word is going out of my mouth, he says, in righteousness, and shall not return. What did you swear, God? What did you swear? Huh? God says that every knee shall bow. Woo-hoo! And every tongue shall what? We say confess, but in the Old Testament it says swear. And what God is saying is that, listen, I'm swearing to you. I'm promising you. I'm making an oath now that it's going to be a judgment. And everybody going to face me and look at me. And when I'm done with the world, every knee going to bow. And every tongue going to confess. I tell you here, before we get too much into it, you would rather bow now to him than bow later. Come on, give God some glory. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I'm telling you. How do you know it's going to happen, Pastor? Because God done swore. He swore by himself. All right? So the Bible says here, he says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. What did God say? Saying, surely, in verse 14, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And that's kind of that blessing. You know what I'm saying? God says he's going to multiply him, make him many nations. He was going to bless him. Amen. And the Bible, hallelujah, says in verse 15, and so after, this is talking about Abraham, after he had did what? He had patiently endured. All right? Still within the context of faith and patience. All right? Because God can give you a promise, but it don't mean it's going to come tomorrow, no, y'all. All right? You got to learn some grit and some tenacity. You got to learn how to wait upon the Lord. See, a lot of churches treating God like a slot machine. They're treating him like lottery. They treat them like Quaker, instant grits. You understand what I'm saying? They want it quick. They want it fast. But sometimes the blessing that God has for you is so good, it's so big, it's so tailor-made that it's going to take some time for God to bring it to pass. You know some things worth waiting for? Huh? I'm telling you, Clyde. I'm telling you, Clyde. When you cook them red beans like you do in New Orleans. From New Orleans, Clyde. All right, we go to Clyde House, we eat. Amen. Them red beans take time. All right, sure, we can open up a can of Blue Runner if we want to move quick. All right, but if you're going to get that particular taste, huh, it take what? It take time. Then why are you rushing the Lord? Why are you rushing the Lord? Why are you rushing the Lord? Single woman, why are you rushing the Lord when he's trying to tailor make a man? Why are you rushing the Lord? Single man, why are you rushing the Lord when the Lord tailor making a woman just for you? If you knew better, you would say, God, take your time. Come on, tell your neighbor, let God take his time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're praying on some things. Amen. You pushing. No, you got to patiently endure. You got to wait on the Lord. You got to wait on the Lord. And after you waited, wait it some more. Wait some more if you got to. But I guarantee you one thing. When the blessing comes, it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be, oh, God, it's going to be worth the wait. God, we sure give you double for your trouble. Giving seven times much, amen, as you thought. Huh? Every woman that couldn't have seed in the Bible, every woman who was barren in the Bible, who prayed and cried and asked for a child, and God had them on a waiting list. But the children that they had to wait for wind up being children of renown, great children, prophets and prophetesses. Oh, y'all not feeling me up in here. Look how long Abraham waited, but look at the blessing. Huh? Look at the blessing, the father of many nations. You see? He said he patiently endured. Now, as I look at this in the Greek, this patiently endure means to, hallelujah, an unswerving willingness to wait rather than trying to force the blessing yourself. See, because that's the opposite of waiting. When we try to push God or we try to push our way. All right? We do it all the time. All right? We want to bless ourselves instead of waiting for God to bless us. And I'm here to tell you, amen, you don't want to bless yourself. When you bless yourself, amen, it might be good for a couple of days, a week, a month, amen. But sooner or later, trouble going to happen because you done bless yourself. But my Bible said that the blessing of the Lord make it rich, Miss Amisha. And it added no sorrow. It means there's no trouble with it. You get it and it's good. Oh, some of our former hustlers up in here know what I'm talking about. Our ex-dealers. You know, we got a bunch of exes up in here. Ex-hustlers, ex-dealers, ex-gangsters. I understand that. But when we was doing that, you was trying to rush the blessing. You was trying to push it. You were trying to make it happen on your own time. But what you had to really do was wait on the Lord. The end was going to be the same or even better, amen, because you was going to be blessed. Yeah, you just got the blessing on you. But you trying to bless yourself instead of coming in and letting the Lord bless you. And when you bless yourself, hey, they'll tell you it come with trouble like that. All right, we got some that's been saved in here. Some that, hallelujah, left the streets and now they got more for it. Huh? God working on them. Hey, God. You just got to patiently endure. That's all you gotta do. That's what the Bible says. Patiently endure. Come on, look at your other neighbor. Tell them, patiently endure. Don't force God. Don't force the issue. You see? The Bible says, hey, got somebody getting the word tonight. The Bible says he patiently endured and he did what? He obtained the promise. What happened? God gave him what he waited for. You see? I could just hear Ronnie P singing, I don't mind waiting. Huh? Huh? You see what I'm saying? God gave him seed like the sea, like the sand on the seashore. This is a small deposit of Abraham's seed right here. And then you go down to, hallelujah, all the cities in America, and that's Abraham's seed. You go down there, hallelujah, down to Mexico, amen, and the 10 lost tribes. Guess what? That's Abraham's seed, amen. Go down there to Latin America, to Colombia, amen, and all of our Afro-Latino people down there. Guess what? That's Abraham's seed by way of the 10 lost tribes. It's nations all over the place, amen. And if we had to follow the diaspora of the tribes, amen, we will see in the end that they planted all over the face of the world. God say, listen, hallelujah, Abraham, you see, we done lost it. We think that God was going to make Abraham's seed one nation. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Many nations, many nationalities. Yes, he patiently endured. Listen, let's look at our next point, the oath. Now, this first point we went through tonight was all about us and all about Abraham patiently waiting. But this next point is actually going deeper into God. Amen. And as we look at, hallelujah, the next verse in verse 16, it goes back to God. It says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So we dealt with this issue of men swearing by the greater. So you know what that is, you know, on my mama grave and on my daddy and all this other stuff like that to God. And so they swear by the greater. All right. And the Bible tells us something deeper about when people swear. It says an oath is for confirmation, is to them an end of all strife. See, when two people had a problem in the Old Testament, amen, and you couldn't believe that man, amen, you made that man swear. Or you made him take an oath. Put your hand on that Bible and say that, all right? And that oath or that swear was a confirmation that you was going to do what you said you was going to do. Or confirmation that you was telling the truth. An oath is a confirmation. And that confirmation would do what? It would end all strife. It would end the problem that we had. You see, because the problem was you told me you was going to pay me $20 for that bushel of hay. But I don't trust you because the last time you only gave me 15 and you short me 5. All right? And I want to give you the hay because I want to make the money. You understand what I'm saying? Because I like my Benjamins. Anybody hear me? But I need to make sure that you're going to pay me. So what we going to do? We're going to take an oath. All right? You put your hand on that Bible. Not today. Amen. We go in front of an order and we sign some contracts. Amen. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. That notarial act is actually a swear. Sworn and subscribed before Omar Thibault and the parish of Lafayette. And the, you hear what I'm saying? That swearing, that oath, confirms what you're promising and it ends the strife. You see, because I can trust what you put on the paper. I can trust the swearing and the promise that you made. Y'all with me so far? Yeah. All right? And this is the real deal. People act different when they got to swear, yeah. I'm telling you. Man, listen, man, let me bring you to the courthouse for a second. All right? You know, like in the court of law, you know, they make you get on that stand. And people be bad before they get on that stand. You know what I'm saying? They're going to lie. They're going to do all this. I'm telling you. And they plan. They plan with their lawyers. Yeah, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. Big brother, you know what I'm talking about. But it's something about when that judge sitting right up and they call you up. You know what I'm saying? You're not called Bernard because you come up to the stand. And you walk up there and they say, we got to swear you in. Huh? And they say, put your right hand, put your hand on the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Wait, I don't know which way it is. You know? And you got to say, I swear to tell the whole truth. I swear to tell the whole truth. And nothing but truth. Nothing but truth. Say, help me, God. Say, help me, God. And Brian. When them people sit down in that courtroom, after swearing on that Bible, everything changes. I done been cross-examining people. My client, Jim. My client. He done told me all this and all that, all this. And I believe him. Get up there. The whole story done changed. Yeah, I hit him, I punched him, and I thought you told me you ain't did that. Well, you ain't made me swear. Oh, so now you got a conscience. You'd be surprised. In law school, they tell us rules. I'm about to get back to it. Law school, they tell us rules. They say rule number one, don't believe nothing your client say. Rule number two for law, they say, get your money up front. Rule number three, refer back to rule number one. Don't believe a single thing that they say. Because when they get on the stand, it's all going to change. That's why I'm not doing criminal law no more. But that oath, that swearing is a confirmation. It ends all strife. It brings some weight to the table. It makes both parties feel better about it, especially the party that's relying upon you to fulfill that promise. It ends the strife. Make them feel better. All right? Now remember, we're talking about God. Now watch this. Watch how deep this is. Watch this. Verse 17. Wherein God. This means in the same way, God. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. The same way you're going to make somebody feel better by swearing and taking the oath. The same way God. Willing more abundantly. He wanted to prove more abundantly, overwhelmingly, that you can trust his word. You can trust his way. You can trust his promises. Wherein God. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Who's the heirs of promise? It's us. It's believers. He wants us to believe his promises. That he's going to provide for us and protect us and heal us and walk with us and save us and put us under the blood. God. God. Our God willing to comfort us. To show us that he's serious about everything that he says in his word. Huh? Wherein God, in the same way as men swear and take an oath, God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the what? The immutability of his counsel. Pastor, what does that mean, that immutability? Huh? I know there's a mute button on my control, but what is that? Huh? When you mute something, you change it. It was loud and you turn it low. You change it. God is immutable. That means he's unchangeable. You can't mute his promises. You can't stop his promises. If he said he's going to be with you, ain't nothing anybody can do to stop that, change that, alter that. The immutability of his counsel, he said. All of his promises are yes and amen. You see? The immutability. You see, he wanted to show us, y'all, that when he says something, he mean it, and he's not going to change it. Forever that word is settled in heaven. It's immutable. Huh? He says he wanted to, wherein God, in the same way men swear and take an oath, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise to us, the immutability, the unchangeable nature of his counsel. What did he do? He confirmed it by an oath. Oh, God, have mercy. How can God be so condescending to men? How can God do that, y'all? How could he capitulate to us? You see, I told you that when men want to make each other feel better, the one, hallelujah, go to none, he says, listen, I swear, I take an oath, I promise. The Most High, the Holy God, the King of Kings, the God who changed it not, who it is impossible for him to lie anyway. He said, I'm not only going to give you my word, but I'm going to swear to you, and I'm going to take an oath. And could you imagine God coming before you? You don't deserve that. And God taking his word and putting his hand on his Bible and say, I swear that everything I told you is true. I swear that when I told you, you call on me and I'm a savior, I will. I swear that when you believe in me, my blood is going to wash away every single one of your sins. I swear that if you have faith, that when it's all over, I'm going to take you to heaven with me. Verily, verily, hey God, I prepared a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you so. I'm telling you, you don't know what this means, man. Number one, we don't deserve God to swear to us. We don't deserve. Listen, the wrong and the stuff we done did him, what you swearing to? To put it on an ecological and ecosystem level, it's like you going to the red ant in your backyard and swearing to him. I'm not going to pass on your ant mound no more. The mighty God swears to us. You see? And that's what he's trying to tell these Hebrews. Huh? This ain't nothing fickle that you holding on to. This gospel, this cross is nothing that... Oh, no, 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 no. God is backed up by his word, Cole. And it's backed up by his oath and his promise. You see? You see? As we continue to go in verse 18, the Bible goes into that. What I just said, it says that by two immutable things. It's talking about his word and his oath. They're immutable. They're unchangeable. He want to back up his word with an oath. Two immutable things in which it was what? Impossible for God to lie. But why did he have to swear to us? Why did he have to take an oath that we might believe him? It says, hallelujah, that we might have that we might have a strong consolation. All right? And that word consolation means a strong confidence. It was to encourage us. That when we rely upon him, listen, that he will never steer us wrong or let us go. He is more faithful than the sun rising in the east when you wake up in the morning or setting in the west when you go to bed at night. He's more sure than anything that we could see or hear. You see? He tells us here that we might have strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. Somebody say refuge. Remember, he's speaking to the Hebrews. Y'all got me working. Y'all got me sweating up in here. He's speaking to the Hebrews. This Greek word refuge has the connotation, amen, of the Old Testament cities of refuge. He's using a word picture to jog their Hebraic memory. He's jogging, Cherie, their Old Testament knowledge. And he's telling them, just like when somebody broke the law in the Old Testament and they unintentionally killed a man. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Joshua and Moses prescribe a few cities in the promised land where the slayer of blood unintentionally would be able to run to these cities of refuge. And even though they broke the law and killed the man, since they were in this city of refuge, the law would have no power over them. They would not be under the penalty of breaking the law. Oh, you got to. Ooh, woo! He's telling us that at that cross, we have found a place of refuge. That though every single one of us stand guilty of breaking one of God's law, I can go through them one by one, and I'm telling you by a show of hands, and some of y'all would raise up for every single one of them. Yeah, I broke that one too, Pastor. Huh? Don't make me do it to you. How many people made graven images? How many people dishonored their mom and dad? How many people lied before? How many people stole before? I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm just. They said, Pastor, I thought this was a holy place. No, we serve a holy God. We serve a holy God who forgives unholy men. But you got to find the place of refuge. Because when judgment comes, judgment going to fall on everybody. Except the place of refuge. Anybody? Oh, I think you hear my. Hey. I'm telling you. He gave us his word, then he gave us an oath, then he swore. So that when we lay hold to the hope of refuge, y'all, we would be encouraged, y'all. We would have confidence, y'all. That what God said is real and is true. And listen, hallelujah, that he loved us. And perfect love casts out all fear. And that love, hallelujah, there's no fear in judgment and love. And Pastor, tell me where that refuge place is. Tell me, Pastor, where the lawbreakers could go. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. Pastor, just tell me, where can I go? Because I know the storm is coming. I see the fires. I see the floods. Where can I go, Pastor? Woo! At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It
It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. It's the cross. The cross. The cross. Songwriter says, I will forever lift my eyes to Calvary to see the cross where Jesus died for me. How wonderful the place that bought my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults. He looked beyond my faults. And he saw my need. Come on, give God some glory up in this place. I'm telling you, a place of refuge where people in trouble can run to. He made an oath, he swore, and he gave us his word that if you could find this place and cry out to him, call unto him, knock on the door, the Bible say, hey, God, I'm telling you, he's going to open it for you. And you'll be safe from the coming storm. It says in 18 that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, strong confidence and encouragement. Who? Those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? Upon the hope that is set before us. In 19, it begins to describe this hope. Amen. Ooh, God, and I want to get into it. Hold on. Y'all got me sweating up in here. I'm sweating up in here. Sweating like a Hebrew in a cotton field up in here. Mercy. Woo, God. Listen, to talk about this hope. Amen. Thank you, Miss Marilyn. Hope. I appreciate that. For the water. Keep hope alive. Thank you, Lord. So listen to me now. Let's move to our last point. Listen. Our last point. Ooh, the time fly when you're having fun in the Lord, I'm telling you. An anchor. In verse 19, he says, which hope we have as an anchor. All right. Once again, that hope is Jesus. He's the only hope that we have. All right. He's the only hope that we have. The only help that we have. We can't trust in nobody else. Nobody else. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, the righteous one. He's the only way. Huh? He's the only way. He say, no man comes to the Father but by me. The hope is Jesus. He said that hope is like an anchor. Oh, my God. An anchor. All right. That word anchor is the traditional nautical apparatus. Amen. That's made of two giant hooks, heavy metal. Amen. That's used in ships. Amen. And the reason that ships need anchors. Amen. Is that when they're in a storm, to not be tossed to and fro in the storm, to not go under when the waves and the billows come. Anybody hear me up in here? How many people know they got storms in life, huh? How many people know? Come on, Miss Maisha, you know what I'm saying. There's storms, huh? And Jesus don't say just because he saved us, we're not going to go through the storms. Because both the house that's built on the sand and the one that's on the rock, they all go through the storms. But the question is, do you have an anchor when you... Oh, God, I'm trying to... See, because if you ain't got an anchor, the storm's going to take you under. That's why you hear people going out, they killing themselves, and they killing wife, and they killing children. Amen. The storm done got too great, and there's nothing to hold them in the storm. Anybody hear me up in here? Heard a story, amen, about a captain on a ship, amen, and he was out there, hallelujah, in a storm, and he had multiple anchors, and he threw the biggest anchor out there. And the ship kept on moving, being tossed to and fro. He looked down, he got the second largest anchor. He threw that one out there. Amen. The ship kept on being tossed to and fro. They taking in water. They about to go under. They need an anchor real quick. The biggest anchor didn't work. The second largest anchor didn't work. They got this little simple tiny anchor.
And one of the men said, Captain, we got one more anchor. We're going to throw this one. He said, that one is too small. If this biggest anchor that I've seen ain't going to grab on to none, how that little anchor going to do anything? He said, Captain, but we just need to give it a shot. We ain't got nothing to lose. We about to die out here. He said, well, all right, throw that little anchor over. Little piece of earring. Throw that over. And when he threw the little anchor over, the chain kept going down, kept going down, kept going down. Then the chain stopped. And when that chain stopped, it tightened up. Oh, God have mercy. And that boat stayed still in the storm. And the storm came, and the little anchor had done what the big anchors couldn't do. The little anchor. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. Mike, I'm trying to preach to them up in here. See, to me, the big anchor represent all human effort. Oh, God, ah, God, I'm trying to tell you. When you're relying upon your smarts and your strength and your money and your philosophies, and you're relying upon evolution and atheism and humanism and Buddhism and all of the isms that's out there, that's the big anchor. That's the big anchor, Mike. All right? The medium anchor is us, hallelujah, trying to do it ourselves. Huh? But the little anchor that you'll pass on by because it's too simple. The little anchor, because it ain't pretty, it don't seem heavy. The little anchor, because it don't look like it would do what you need it to do. That little anchor is Jesus Christ and Him crucified out. Woo! And I'm here to tell you that in my life, I tried every anchor I could until I had to grab the little anchor. I grabbed the little anchor. I threw the little anchor over, TP. And everything steadied in my life. Ooh, school steady. Marriage steady. Money steady. All the trouble, they just steady, steady, steady. I wonder who in here need an anchor. He said, what hope we have as an anchor? An anchor for our soul. You see, sometimes, amen, a ship also needs an anchor to stay on course. Not only wind and rain and the storm, but sometimes you could be, hallelujah, taken off course by the tide and the waves and riptides out there. And so you need the anchor to get you through these currents that pass through right quick. Because you could be easily taken off course. In life, amen, hallelujah, Jesus is that anchor. It's the anchor that's going to keep your life on course. As long as you hold on to the cross of Calvary, you will never be blown off course, because the devil can't do nothing with that cross. Devil can't do nothing with that cross. You know you entered into false religion when they have let go of the cross. As long as you hold on to Jesus, woo, hallelujah, hold on to his cross, he's always going to take you where you need to be. Every false religion out there can't stomach the cross, y'all. Can't stomach the gospel. It's the stumbling stone. It's the ones that everybody who's not serious about this, they fall at. They can't accept him. They can't preach him. They can't teach him. They can't give the uncut gospel. They can't. Because you got to be real. Even to get the revelation of Calvary. Woo! It's an anchor to keep you on course. An anchor for you to ride out the storm. It's an anchor to help you from destruction. I'm almost done. Come on, just stay with me for a second here. Fourth quarter, 2 minute warning. Listen. Sometimes these ships get too close to the shore. And that's why they would put the big lighthouses out there to let them know where the shore was. It wasn't the pretty beaches that they was concerned with. It was what was underwater. The coral reefs and the rocks, amen, that we don't see. But these big hulls of ships, amen, they when they come close to that, they hit all of that stuff. And it'll rip them up. It'll tear up iron and steel ships, let alone ships made out of wood. So an anchor will help them. If they, hallelujah, testing how deep the water is, they throwing that down to the sea, and if they run up and they came up too close to the shore, you can always throw that anchor, and that anchor going to stop you from getting too close. It'll save you from destruction. And I want to tell you that there's a destruction coming real soon. destruction that we call death and hell and the grave. You want to call it in the Greek, you could call it Sheol. If you want to go to the book of Revelations, we can call it the lake of fire. But there is a destruction coming soon. And some of us, we play too close to the shoreline, too close to the rocks, too close to the reef. I'm telling you, you better grab yourself an anchor, because that anchor is the only way for you to get out of hell, for you to avert destruction. He says that anchor is an anchor for the soul. We wind it down. 19, look what it says. Both sure, which is strong, and steadfast, which is trustworthy. I always heard the song, there's power. Power. Wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb. You see? It's strong and it's trustworthy. And this anchor, look what it says. It entered into that within the veil. This is the last part we're going to cover. Oh, y'all got me sweating up in here. I'm telling you, man, y'all got me sweating up in here. It said that the anchor, it entered into the what? The veil. Pastor, what's the veil? The veil was a thick curtain. Curtain so thick, it was as thick as the thickest part of a man's hand. And it separated the holy place and the holy of holies. Huh? When it says that our anchor entered into the veil, he's not talking about an earthly temple. He's talking about the holy of holies in heaven. Our anchor is in the holy of holies. Now, John, watch me now. Watch me now. See, John, most anchors, when you let them go, they go down. Our anchor went down, then he went, woo! God have mercy. Watch me, TP. Our anchor went up. What you mean, Pastor? He died on that cross. He was buried in the grave. But on the third day, feel it, what he did? He rose with all power and all might. And when he rose, he couldn't stop rising. He ascended on high and led captivity captive. I need you to picture it, Brian. That's our anchor. That's our anchor. We got a chain attached to him. He went down, amen, he was buried. He went down, went in hell, and snatched the keys of death from the devil, took his dentures and bust loose. And then after he went down, what our anchor did? He went up. How high did he go up? He went into the holy place. Did he stop there? No, he went into the holy of holies. Did he stop there? No, he went seated at the right hand of majesty. You see, he's like an anchor, but he's better than an anchor. Because your anchor is not on the floor of some ocean. Your anchor is at the right hand of Almighty God. And he got you. He got you. He got you. Come on, Dido, can you see it? You got a chain on your back. And the other end of that chain is your anchor. And he's not below the level, sea level, he in heaven. Mm. And as long as you're anchored to him, you'll never fall. He got you. There you go. Whoa, he got you. You're going to run into trouble. Whoa, he got you. Our anchor has entered within the veil. Come on, give God some glory in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no better place for an anchor tonight, y'all. Just want to take the time out for those who would say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm anchored like that. Just want to take the time out for those who would say, Pastor, if I had to die tonight, I don't know where I would go. I got some good news for you. You pick a night to come to church where our message was all about our anchor. All about our anchor. Sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. True. Hallelujah. All his promises are yes and amen. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. Hallelujah. He wanted you to trust him so much. He not only gave you a word, he put his hand on the book and he swore to you. He gave you an oath. And he wanted you to know, hallelujah, with that oath and with his word, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He hadn't failed not a single person yet. Every single one who came to him with a sincere heart to be forgiven and to be saved and to be blessed. Cole, come on now. You can testify. He done saved us and blessed us all up in here. Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter what you did. Don't matter who your mom is, your daddy is. Don't matter if you ain't got no daddy. Somebody got to hear me up in here. He done forgiven murderers and rapists and molesters and liars and cheats and drug dealers and drug users. Now forgive them all, huh? All he want to know tonight is, do you want an anchor to get you through? Listen to me, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, listen, God brought you here tonight. He brought you here tonight. All you got to do is say yes tonight. We're going to pray tonight, amen. And all you need to know is, amen, is that we all sinners up in here. But Jesus came for sinners. And if you believe in him and you call upon him from the depths of your heart and you mean it, he going to save you on the spot. He going to save you. It might not be a instantaneous change, but your life is going to begin to change. And over time, you're going to see that that was the best decision you ever made. And over time, he's going to begin to change the way you think, change the way you talk, change the way you walk. And then the blessing's going to come, the favor going to come, the anointing going to come. But it all starts with this one decision. You see? It's one decision. I'm going to pray with you right now. And we're going to get out of here. I just want you to imagine yourself in a storm right now. And I want you looking in that boat and seeing all those different anchors that you could throw in. But I want you to picture one anchor that say Jesus. One anchor that looked like the cross. And I want you to refuse all of those fake and fickle anchors. And I want you to grab hold of the anchor, the hope of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want you to throw that anchor into your trouble. Throw it into that water. And I want you to watch that chain tighten up and your boat steady. And the storm end. Pray with me. Say, God, thank you for giving me an anchor for my soul. I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm so sorry. But I believe that you still love me and that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. He suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried in the grave. But on the third day, he rose. With all power and all might. And he promised me, if I called on him, that he'd forgive me and save me. Well, I'm calling right now. And I know you can't lie. You swore to me. You took an oath. That if I called on you, that if I believe, that you would save me. I take you at your word tonight. Save me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give God some glory in this house. Come on, give God some glory in this house. He's an on-time God. He's a wonderful God. He's an anchor. He's an anchor for our soul. Father-in-law, y'all come see me when y'all done. Amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. and bless you. And bless you with shalom. Shalom peace. I'm sorry, y'all. I hugged James Malvo and messed up my mic. Bless you and heal you in the name of Jesus. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.
Bless you. Yes,
bless you.
Yes, sir.
And heal you. Bless you. And heal you. Bless you. Bless you.
In the name of
Jesus. The best life. The best life. The best life. We got an anchor, Mr. Felton. We got an anchor for our soul. We got an anchor. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless your week. Bless your month. Bless you. We got an anchor. We got an anchor. We got an anchor for our soul. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed.